everybody, and welcome back to the Indie Heads Podcast. I'm your host, Maddie, a.k.a. at Monrovian Prince on Twitter. On this week's podcast, we have...
I am Jake at jwald55 on Twitter. First time on since the infamous Everything Now podcast.
the controversial Everything Now podcast.
Legendary.
Legendary.
Hi, I'm Brittany Russell, a.k.a. at SupBRuss on Twitter. I'm new here. And I'm tired. It's 4 in the morning here.
That is some dedication.
Dedication to the podcast. That's what we like to hear. And we have
I've never been up at 4 a.m. in my whole life.
I've been up for it multiple times in my life.
It's actually almost 5.
Jesus.
That's, yeah.
Oh, and one more person we have on the podcast.
What's up? I am Gavin at 490freak on Twitter and also same on Reddit. It's my first time here and I'm going to set a record for most fart and poop jokes on the Indie Heads podcast.
But yes, everyone, welcome to the podcast, Gavin and Britt. They, Gavin, you might know him from Boy Time, friend of the pod.
Music is bad.
Wait, is that, oh yeah. I forget. Oh, see, I forget that you tweeted me about that yesterday. I'm like, wait, is that a real podcast? And then now I'm remembering.
Oh, it is.
That's your Sufjan Stevens podcast.
Yes, it is.
When
go listen to that.
I want a guest on there legitimately.
I will have any guest on the Music Is Bad podcast.
And Britt, also welcome to the podcast for the first time.
Woo.
2018, we doing big things. We getting
it's true.
We are gonna try to do some big things for the podcast. Now that we're officially wrapped up with 2017, now that we got done with the Album of the Year, the 2 week delay on the Album of the Year cast.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of a roadblock, and now that we're past it, we can start to do things again.
Yes, so
go hard or go home, guys.
Exactly. That is the motto of Indie Heads Podcast 2018. We're gonna go hard or we're gonna go home. Except most of us are home recording this podcast right now.
Yes.
Anyways, let's get to the news, because we missed a lot. Right. We missed a lot of news, but we're not going to talk about a lot of it, because it's not relevant anymore. We're only going to talk about the real relevant stuff, and the stuff we can riff and raff on. But this one we can't really riff and raff on. We can only really be sad. And that our first bit of news, and something we're probably not going to... Yeah. We can't discuss too in-depth, because I don't know if any of us are big The Fall fans. But it was recently announced that Marky Smith, the legendary frontman of the band, has died at age 60, following what seems to be a lot of health issues over the years. And not much to say other than, like, there's probably so many bands that I listen to now that were probably influenced by The Fall, and I really need to listen to The Fall.
Yeah.
I like The Fall, but his most iconic moment to me, Marky Smith iconic moments, is when he... talk shit about Mumford and Sons. I'm trying to find the exact quote, but he said they sounded like, I don't know, like a mentally handicapped Irish folk band or something like that. He was just not a good person.
I think
in general, but he made some good music.
I think he threw a bottle at them on stage.
Yeah, something like that. He was a little off the rocker, but
damn off the rocker. But obviously, as I think a lot of people would probably say, one of the most influential musicians to ever live,
without a doubt. Yeah.
I think it's safe to say. So, rest in peace to Marky. We're doing this podcast in memory of you. We're gonna be crapping on some music just like you would.
That's right. In his honor.
Yep.
And our next bit of news, I think we've been heavily anticipating to happen, and one that I don't think any of us were entirely sure would happen, but boom, it's here. It's happening. Sufjan Stevens has officially been nominated for an Academy Award.
Whoa.
It has happened. So his song Mystery of Love from the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack was nominated for the Academy Award for Original Song. And actually, speaking of the Oscars, really quick, another quick story about the Oscars and indie music, that Radiohead's Johnny Greenwood was nominated for Best Original Score for Phantom Thread. So
has he been nominated before this?
No, this is his first time.
He's a first-timer.
First one? All right.
He's joining the ranks of several first-time Oscar nominees, including, but not limited to, Kobe Bryant and The Boss Baby.
Oh my god. Is the Boss Baby, is it going to be like Suicide Squad last year that somehow won an Oscar for like best makeup and stuff? Is it just going to be like, just, it somehow got an Oscar It's not even a random ass category. It's not like, oh, it's like best, like, you know, best like technical thing. It's like, no, it's best animated feature. Did Alec Baldwin
just gonna surprise and win everything? That's what we deserve in 2018.
We do. We honestly do.
He's a boss.
It.
He's a baby. I mean, I don't know what else you guys want from this movie. I mean, I think he's gonna win.
What? Wait. What else is nominated for best animated feature? I'm trying to. I think I know it's Coco's one.
Coco, Loving Vincent. I think Ferdinand actually.
Okay, I want Ferdinand to win because it has John Cena.
I want my boy
John Cena to get an Oscar. He deserves it.
I think there's one more off the top of. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm gonna be upset when I'm told what it is.
I don't remember the Oscars. Man, they are. Oh boy, this is gonna be an interesting year for the Oscars, probably considering how Hollywood has been setting itself on fire. Deserved fires, let me say.
Mm-hmm.
I think this it's been a long time coming, but this Oscars, it's either going to be horribly unbearable to watch or just really boring. I think it's just going to be the latter. I feel like it's just going to be boring, and there's going to be a lot of fake controversies, and then everyone's going to forget about it in, like, 5 days' time. But shouts out to
Boss Baby's going to win every Oscar ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters.
It's got a sweet. But Sufjan, hey, it happened. It finally happened. God. I remember when the movie came out and everyone found out he's doing like some of the stuff on the soundtrack. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to get an Oscar, isn't he? He's going to get an Oscar. It's like, nah, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But as the year went progressed, I'm like, oh my God, Sufjan Stevens might get a fucking Oscar. Mm-hmm. I really, really hope he performs at the Oscars. I don't know if he will. I feel like they'd be dumb.
He would put on a show.
Yeah, if Elliot Smith could do it, I think Sufjan could do it.
Wait, Elliot Smith performed at the Oscars?
Didn't Keanu do it a few years ago?
Yeah.
Elliot Smith was nominated. He put a song in the Good Will Hunting soundtrack.
Oh, yep. Okay.
I think like 20 years ago.
He did a lot of songs on that soundtrack, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played, it was Miss Misery.
Yeah, he lost to Celine Dion, but, you know.
It's Celine Dion, I mean, come on.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Wait, was that the year that she went, was that for Titanic?
Yes, it was.
Oh, God.
My heart will go on.
Christ.
And it did.
Go on to win an Oscar.
So.
But.
Name Oscars. We might. I feel like there's going to be enough of us interested to do a late night on it at some point whenever it happens. So. No guarantees, but maybe be on the lookout for it. Who knows?
Same night as the Royal Rumble. I'm not in on that.
Wait, is it?
Yes, it is. This Sunday, I believe.
The Oscars are this Sunday? No. They're not until March.
Are they? No. What am I thinking of? Oh, like the... I don't know what's on this Sunday. Hold on.
Is it like a football game on Sunday? Wait, no, the Super Bowl... Wait, no, it's not the Super Bowl.
That's next Sunday.
Okay.
Is it the Grammys?
It's the Grammys. The Grammys are the same night as the Royal Rumble.
Man, the Grammys have, like, no hype this year. Like, everyone has forgot about them.
Like, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But My bad.
Everyone should watch the Royal Rumble, though. It's going to be a good time. You're going to see Braun Strowman. He's going to body slam Brock Lesnar through a fucking announce table, probably. It's going to be awesome. And then you're going to see Kane get pinned clean because he's 50 years old, and I don't know why he's still wrestling. He's running
Shouts
for
out Libertarian Kane.
Oh, by the way, hey, before we get to our next bit of news, special announcement. Gavin and I and Zach and will be starting a wrestling podcast very soon. What is the name of the podcast, Gavin?
We decided. I just told them I'm not going to do it unless we call it Slam Me Hard Daddy. So look out for Slam Me Hard Daddy, the podcast about wrestling.
Yeah, be on the lookout for Slam Me Harder Daddy coming to an iTunes store near you. But our next bit of news, and one that we can just roast on about because it's our subject, he's very susceptible to it. Jack White has announced that he's banning phones from his show because he wants the crowd to have a 100% human experience. And fucking Jack White, man. Fucking... It's not shocking that he's doing this. Like, I saw this headline, I'm like, wait, didn't he do this, like, 2 years ago? Like, I swear he probably did on, like, a tour before, but now it's like, hey, no phones at my show. Which I don't think is the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, it's like... Nah. It's like, it's very on brand for Jack White to be like, I'm gonna ban phones from my show. You get a ban that...
I want them to pay attention to me and not someone else who's probably better than Jack White.
I don't want you to be able to preserve memories on your phone, because you're going to be shitposting about how bad my concert is on Twitter, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I like watching concert footage on, like, YouTube and stuff, so, like, I appreciate these weirdos who film, like, entire shows and stuff. But I also get why a performer wouldn't want it. But at the same time, like, if I'm in the crowd and, like, I'm getting, like, pushed around and, like, my ass is being touched and stuff, like, the guy in front of me who has his phone out is, like, fifth on my list of concerns. So, but I can see where...
Same.
Yeah, where Jack White would, you know... I don't know, but, like, man, you gotta, like, live in the moment, man. It's just so... Just be like, I don't want you filming me, you know? You don't have to have, like, a moral message behind it.
Yeah. It's just one of the things... I guess it's good to tell people now before the shows, like, happen. Because I'm thinking, like, you should have I know, because I think Neutral Milk Hotel did, like, the same thing whenever they did, like, one of their reunion tours a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't blame. It's one of the things that's, like, it's not shocking that someone like Jack White's doing this, but at the same time, it's just, like, buddy, Jack... You don't need to tell us this stuff. I think we already kind of knew.
Yeah.
Or you just tell the people who buy the tickets to your concert. Like, put a little thing on their ticket saying, like, hey, don't bring your phone to the show. But I guess this is just, like, so people don't get mad at him, like...
Yeah.
Whenever, like, the security tries to take away their phone. It's like...
Didn't Arcade Fire do something similar to...
I think so. I know Arcade Fire
does something... sounds like Arcade Fire...
I think Gambino did the same thing when he did, like, that, like, he did that camp festival kind of thing, like, at Joshua Tree or something. Like, he put, like, people had to put their phones in, like, these special bags so they wouldn't touch them, or you couldn't use them within, like, a vicinity of the concert. So, hey, I don't know. Jack White, he's Jack White. He's a damn old school classic man.
My advice to Jack White concert attendees is bring laser pointers instead. That'll be a good time.
Yes. I mean, hey, honestly, if Jack White starts freaking out like a cat, like, to a laser pointer, that'd be great. That's why there should be cell phones. Hopefully someone's able to sneak their phone in and film that happening. So, because I think Jack White is part cat, and I'm ready to expose this conspiracy to the world. Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
Absolutely, I believe it.
I've literally just come up with, and I'm gonna run with it. But that's about it for the news. That's about it for the news. We got a lot of singles to talk about. There's a lot of damn music that came out, really this month, and last month to an extent that we have to talk about. I think it's mainly stuff from this month.
Yeah.
But we got a lot. Let's start off on a high note. Let's start off with something that some real good shit. Carsey Headrest. Is putting out a Twin Fantasy remake, as he and the band have remade every single track from Twin Fantasy, and it's sort of a weird remake reissue kind of deal where they're reissuing the original, but it's mainly just being like, yeah, we're redoing the whole album. And two singles have dropped. Beach Life and Death dropped a while ago, back in December. We talked about it on a podcast. But two new singles have dropped since then. Nervous Young and Humans and Cute Thing, and that damn Will Toledo, that fucking bastard man, he is too talented.
He's gonna release the 2018 album of the year, even though it came out 7 years ago.
We can't let him get away with it.
He can't.
Yeah, someone needs to
Someone's gotta step up. Someone has to step up.
Someone.
But you know what? You know you're gonna let him do it anyway, because it's Will Toledo.
Of course, yeah, of Toledo. Course we are, but it's like, he can't. How does he do this? You just can't keep getting away with it. Well, okay, but for on the real though, these two tracks, they're so good.
Yeah.
Nervous Young and Humans actually kind of took me a second to get into, because it was, I think of the three so far, that one's definitely the most different. He kind of, like, the whole guitar lines, like, replaced with synths, and I think the entire ending monologue is kind of changed, so a lot of people were, I guess, I don't know. kind of wary about that, but it's definitely grown on me. Like, you can tell that he's trying to do, it's not, he's not just re-recording Twin Fantasy, he's kind of making a different version of the same album. And like, they're called Face to Face and Mirror to Mirror, so they kind of they're kind of like looking at the same situation from a different perspective. And but Cute Thing is probably my favorite of the three so far. It's I don't know how he did it, because Cute Thing on the original Twin Fantasy is one of my favorites, and he somehow made it like almost better. It's actually, I don't even know.
When is this coming out again?
I
forget the date.
Yeah, me too. I think it's, hold on. I think it's like in March sometime. I actually don't know exactly, because I think it's February 16th.
Oh,
that's Valentine's Day gift.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what he does with a lot of the tracks. Like, Famous Prophets is like 4 minutes longer on the new one, so that'll be interesting. I don't know where he's gonna add 4 more minutes. I think the whole album in total is 11 minutes longer, so it's gonna be interesting and good.
Can't
yeah
wait.
Sober to Death, that's the one that I'm anticipating the most, and the one I'm afraid about, because I think he said in like that long ass like Tumblr interview that he posted, yeah, they said that like that's a song, like, that's something that he kind of didn't like the most on the album, on the original album. Yeah,
one's definitely gonna have some significant changes, I think, based off of reading that interview.
Yeah, and here's the thing: I love Sober to Death, but I also like, I see Will's point, and that it is very immature of a song sometimes, like reading the lyrics. But that's like why so many people love it and gravitate towards it, even if it is like, even if he's not wrong, that's maybe a little unhealthy, but it's like, I'm intrigued. But all these singles so far have been great, and in some ways, I would say that these, not even in some ways, I would say that I think I enjoy all these songs more than the originals.
I can't quite co-sign that, but I understand it.
It was a case of re-listening to the original tracks. Like, I re-listened to Beach Life and Death. Like, I listened to both Beach Life and Death, the new one, and the old one, like, back-to-back, and I was like, shit, I think I like the new one more. How the fuck did he do this? And then Nervous Thinking Humans, I think, like, Nervous Thinking Humans, the guitar part is great, but the verses are kind of, like, iffy, and the verses on the new one are so much better recorded, and it's like, oh my god, I think I like this better, too. And then Cute Thing, I have not listened to the old version of Cute Thing, like, in the new one back-to-back yet, so I can't confirm that one, but I do think that this album will be great, and that is a testament to how good of a songwriter Will Toledo is, that he could somehow remake his own album, and it's not, like, a cheap thing, and he's not ruining any of the songs, you know? Because usually when artists are doing this, usually it's like, oh, you're just, like, ruining your song and making it worse, but in this case, it's like, he's not doing that at all, like, he's, like, in some shape or form, he is making these songs better, and they're not losing their value. They're just sort of, you know, they're cleaned up a bit,
yeah,
and they're updated a bit for modern times, but they're not, but the,
yeah, and especially
the spirit
with his
of them
music,
is not gone.
No, because it's just, like, the original Twin Fantasy is obviously so lo-fi. I'm pretty sure I read that he just recorded it on GarageBand with, like, a USB to guitar back chord, so it's definitely warranted for him to want to kind of reinterpret those songs, like, how they were, because he probably didn't have the means to make it exactly how he wanted the first time to do it, so I'm not, like, one of those people that's angry at him for re-recording it. I don't think he's ruining it or anything like that. I just think he's kind of going back to that idea and doing it how he initially wanted to the whole time.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this.
It's been a minute since I've listened to Twin Fantasy, honestly. So I'm planning on going. You gotta.
Necessary. I was kind of hesitant about this whole project because I'm a shitty little Burger Records boy who likes that lo-fi garbage Bandcamp shit, you know? But I love all three of these songs so far. Cute Thing is my favorite of the three, I think, but they're all very good, and I'm not going to let him get away with it, as far as I'm concerned. But he's going to. I can't stop him. He's Will Toledo.
Fucking God, God give me Frank Ocean's voice. The fucking, this man, how does he do this? How does he, But yeah, these two tracks great. Twin Fantasy remake. Are we even going to, I feel like we, we might end up doing a whole episode, or at least doing a main topic on it. But
we have to.
We kind of have to. It's the damn Carsey headrest. We gotta.
I feel like Twin Fantasy is in like four members of the cast's top 10 all time list.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's essential
for sure. But on to Mount Erie is putting out a new album in March, and he dropped a single from it called Distortion. And
it's good.
It's unfortunate we couldn't get Jake on the last podcast because Jake is our resident Mount Erie stan. But luckily we do have him here. And Jake.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Well, give me your thoughts.
Oh, man. I don't even know. Well, okay. So A Crow Looked at Me was my album of the year, and I could talk about why and how for an hour, but I'm not going to. But Distortion is basically kind of, I don't know. I feel like it's hard to explain. It's kind of like in the same vein as those songs as far as how the songs are written lyrically. They're very kind of conversational. It's written almost in a prose. He kind of avoids the poetry and the metaphor and the symbolism, and he goes for a more matter of fact kind of, I guess you could say, like brutal lyrical style. It's like he's almost talking to you or having a conversation with you. It's very, I think the term that was coined is ramblecore. And I think it's definitely it's still obviously a very heartbreaking song. It's still in the same aftermath. I mean, everyone knows the story of his personal life. It's still kind of in that headspace, but I think this album is going to be him kind of on that trajectory of not necessarily moving past what's happened to him, but just kind of like going forward with it, you know, whatever that might mean. The song is just kind of this 11 minute long, it's kind of just it's literally like his life journey. Like he talks about like a breakup he had in the early 2000s, and it kind of documents his life going through like around the time he was doing the microphone stuff, and then it talks about him meeting Genevieve and them getting married together and her dying. And it's just this super long twisty song lyrically. And it's interesting though, because it's on top of like one guitar chord the whole time. Like the music is pretty static, and he's just basically rambling. I know a lot of people compare it to kind of what Mark Kozlik has done on his recent albums. But based off of the songs I heard him play live, Maddie and I, I'm very much looking forward to this album. I think this one's the longest one, so I don't think the other songs are necessarily going to have the same scope as this one, but you can tell that it's kind of written with just a different idea in mind than A Crow Looked at Me. Like I remember when we saw him, a lot of the songs were like genuinely funny. They were still sad and heartfelt, you know, like they are in A Crow Looked at Me. But he's definitely more lighthearted, I guess.
Yeah, he's not in the, like with A Crow Looked at Me, he's in the direct aftermath of his wife's death, and here it's sort of him like beginning the process of moving on.
Yeah,
somewhat.
It's a little more removed.
Yeah, he's not moved on. Like I don't think he ever will move on from this. I don't think anyone would. But you definitely see him sort of talking about things that are not his dead wife, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the blunt way to put it. As I know one of the songs that we saw him, he talked about like basically the entire song is about him going to a festival and how Skrillex was playing. And he was like crying by a bus, and he had a conversation with Father John Misty in Wise Blood. So
yeah,
so I think it's going to be his transition into basically it's sort of going to be where like the it's basically going to be his Benji a bit more. I think I don't know if that's
glad that he's still so prolific. I mean, because he's always just released album after album after album, and I'm glad that he's not kind of stopping that now. But He's still continuing on the making part twos of songs that are already released. The last track on the album is going to be Crow Part 2, so that'll obviously be the greatest song of all time. And I don't know. I've technically heard it because he played like six new songs live when I saw him. So
but we don't know what the songs' names are. We don't know what the names are.
We don't know which is which, and I don't think he played them in the order that they're in on the album.
Yeah. So we'll find out. But yeah, this new track, yeah, it's fucking Man, I think one thing, I think before like this next album campaign starts, or really before it starts to set in, can we all agree? Can we stop like fetishizing sadness? Can we stop being like, oh, I'm gonna get so sad this new Mount Eerie track. Oh man, oh, it's so sad. I'm gonna get so sad. Like, I don't want that to. If there's anyone that should not happen to, it's definitely not Phil. So can we? Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, he recorded and released the album. Like, he wants people to listen to it and, you know, and digest it in some capacity. I guess I don't really understand people who say that, oh, you know, it's my album of the year and I literally only listened to it one time. Well, I'm like, well,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I get it being an like emotionally intense experience, but I think the songs are really beautiful. They're really well written. They kind of warrant, you know, diving into a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I admit I'm one of the people that I'm like, this is a really good album. I thought it was beautiful, but I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this headspace is so tough.
Yeah, and definitely tough.
I made the mistake of reviewing it but the first thing on a Monday morning because it was like the top ad of the week. And I'm like, oh, this is a mistake. Because nothing's really comparing it this week, but on the other hand, I don't want to like go back and revisit it and get put in this really like dark, tough headspace. I'm like, no, thank you, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to like revisit Mount Eerie yet, and at least A Crow Look at Me, just so because I feel like it's a little tough to relate to in some aspects because like
definitely
I don't have a dead wife.
But yeah, I think it's more of a I'm not really empathizing with him, I guess, in a literal sense, but it's just, you know, the fact that he's able to kind of convey those emotions and maybe like, oh wow, like that, like, it just put into words how that feels as someone who probably, or like hopefully will never be able to actually experience those emotions. It's really crazy to see.
But I do think it was a very good piece of art in its nicest form, at least for music. Which is a similar take to what everyone else has, but
yeah,
it's true.
Mm-hmm. I do think this next album will probably be a bit less emotionally intense. Like, I still think it'll be very gripping, obviously, but I think because of the new songs that we heard live, I think it's not going to be so rooted in the aftermath. It's sort of it's him not in the middle of this horrible storm. It's him kind of. He's sort of gotten out of the worst of it, and it's just sort of him kind of slowly trekking through there. So I do think it's him. So I'm definitely excited to hear these songs again, because, again, we only heard them once, and they're great, and I want to hear them again. So Mount Eerie, Distortion, go listen
good
to
stuff.
It. This next track, I want to give a very quick shout-out to. We could discuss it a bit more. Sadly, Jackson's not on this podcast, because I know he's really big into this song. The new Ott single, Disgraced in America. Now, full disclosure, I've had this album now for a couple weeks, the whole new Ott album. It is an incredible album, and despite all that, I would say this is my favorite song on the album. God damn, those non-Canadian Canadian boys, they fucking wild, man.
I'm surprised you're not looking at them like, why I oughta.
Hey, well, there we go. There we go. Why I oughta. But no, this new single is so fucking good. It's so fucking good. Like Tim Darcy is. I know when these three things came out, everyone's like, "Oh, I don't know about his vocals because he sounded like the Monster Mash." But the song grew on me very quickly. It's a great song, and this new single here, God, it's fucking good. Tim Darcy, man, I'm glad he's singing. Because he was sort of hinting at it on the solo album, but this one is like, oh, he's really going for the singing on this whole album, and he sounds great. And I love, I think it's on the second verse, he has a little lisp, and it's really cute, and I like it. And but yeah, the song, the switch up too is fucking great, like the little ending part, where it's just like this sort of like, sort of the call and response yells, and the percussion, and, why aren't they so good? They're such a good band! Listen to them! They're great, and I also talked with their drummer recently for an interview, which I need to finish transcripting because I'm procrastinating on it. But this new album is incredible. They're all really nice guys. Go see them live if they're coming near you, and go listen or and go check out Room Inside This World. Pre-order now on Merge Records. 2 comes out February 16th.
All right. Wow, it's the same weekend as the Car Seat Headrest album.
Yes, and I
you're gonna have a great weekend.
I know that it's gonna be a pure Matty Corday, and I'm gonna love it to death. But yeah, I just wanted to give that a quick shout out. Unless anyone else has any more thoughts.
I am not a big Ott fan, but boo. This song is good as fuck. This is my favorite thing they have ever done, and I am excited for the album.
I would say, yeah, I think you're really going to enjoy the album then if you do like this track.
Yeah.
A lot more in the
Yeah,
band.
I love it.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next one. Next single. One that's in the chat, surprisingly controversial. The new Unknown Moral Orchestra single, American Guilt. Ruben, I don't remember his last name.
I think it's like Nelson or something.
Like yeah,
Nielsen.
I think it's Nielsen. But they are finally back after Multilove back in 2015. Finally back with a new single. I think pretty much they had the SB05, which is like sort of like kind of a demo collection basically. But this new single, first like official real song since like 2016. And new album probably on the way. No details about it just yet, but we'll probably hear about them real soon. And this new single here, boy oh boy, I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, so my whole thing is I'm a huge fan of their last album, Multilove. I think it's still probably one of the catchiest albums of like the decade. And this album, or this song, I mean, is kind of, it's a little more direct. It's a little heavier. It doesn't have the same kind of pop sensibility, I think, that I like them so much for, but I thought it was fine. So I guess I don't know. I'm curious to see how they're gonna take their sound in this direction. I keep saying they, but I'm pretty sure it's like just Ruben.
Oh, it's just him. Basically, it's like him and his brother. At least when it comes to recording the album.
Yeah, I like their stuff, and I'm looking forward to this kind of new direction.
Yeah, like, I think instrumentally, I love this song. Like, just the heavier guitars, and they're just so sludgy. It sounds great. But Ruben's vocals do leave a little bit to be desired. Like, they're not mixed very well, and it just doesn't really match the song. Like, if he went at the vocals like how he did on Puzzles on Multilove,
yeah.
This could have been a great single. But
Multilove is actually, like, I think hugely underrated.
Oh, it's fucking great single. And Multilove is a great album. I wrote about it for your consideration on Indie Heads.
Oh,
recently very nice. Did like a whole damn.
Ruben follows me on Twitter, and I don't know why. So
me too. Me too. I have no idea. I need to DM. Him and be like, "Hey, Ruben,
we should get him on the podcast.
We could try. I legitimately might, but I'm also want him to block me." Because I feel like he would he seems like the type who would do that.
Right. I don't know.
Anyone else has any thoughts on this new UMO single?
Not really.
It sounds like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, but boring. Well, not boring, but not as interesting as something they would do.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like
Unknown Mortal Orchestra doing a King Gizzard song, basically. I mean, I like it because it sounds like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, but, I mean, yeah, those vocals are not as good as, you know, UMO's other output.
Yeah.
And that's my take. I've never been huge into UMO, so I've got nothing really.
So let's
get to the next one, then, yeah. The Voids, or formerly Julian Casablancas and The Voids, they got two new singles, Album on the Way,
No Dates,
and they're to sing Leave It in My Dreams and Curious, which is spelled like K-Y-U-R-Y-U-S.
Oh, I'm glad you pronounced that, because I did not know that that's what it was, but yeah, okay.
That's my guess, I think that's what it is, but these new singles,
no, that's definitely it.
I've not listened to much of The Voids, I've not listened to much of The Strokes, but these two singles, they fuck, yo. They fuck, man. Okay. They're so good.
They fuck. Tyranny, one of the most underrated albums of the decade, first of all. Human Sadness, greatest song of all time. So I'm already very invested into what they do. At this point, The Voids are way more interesting to me than The Strokes. Like, I love The Strokes, but I don't really care about them anymore. It's all about The Voids. And these songs are just exactly as weird as I would hope from them. They're Leave It in My Dreams is I guess a little more down the middle, but Curious is like weird as hell, and I love it. It's like Blood on the Leaves mixed with The Strokes. It's weird in a good way. I think I pretty much hit everything that I needed to say. I'm just very excited. They just excite me. They're just very experimental while still having that pop sensibility. And Julian Casablancas is an incredible vocalist and obviously a good songwriter. And I don't know. It's interesting that they changed their name from Julian Casablancas and the Voids to just the Voids. I guess they're trying to. I wonder if that's him kind of moving into this being its own standalone project, I guess, that's not just like a side project of the Strokes, you know?
Yeah, I think it might be. I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like the story was like he found this random band and was like, hey, do you guys want to record an album? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I think basically just like, I think eventually he's like, well, let me just join the band, basically. You know, because it's like, it's good that he's doing. It's not, you know, because it the Voids is a great band name, and having the little Julian Casablancas, it's like,
yeah,
you don't need it.
Definitely was a marketing thing because you know people didn't know who the Voids were, and they're like, oh, well, Julian Casablancas is on it. So I think that they've kind of built up enough credibility now with their last album with this new stuff that I guess they could probably stand alone.
Oh yeah. That's definitely gonna be the reason.
But this is, I mean, I know this isn't like anticipated albums cast, but this is probably one of my most anticipated albums of the year. I can't remember what it's called, but it's going to be good.
Oh, I mean, it's not been officially announced. Like the album, it's all I know is that it's coming out this year. Like there's no like album name or anything like that yet.
I thought I read today that it was going to be called Virtue. I don't know if that's true. But I read Virtue somewhere.
Huh. Anyone else have got any thoughts on Damn Voids?
No.
All right.
No, I do not.
All right, let's go on one that I'm excited to talk about. James Blake, this one literally just dropped like tonight. So this is a last minute addition to the single alert. But James Blake, new song, If the Car Beside You Moves Ahead. And boy, oh boy, I don't know what's happening in this track. I don't know what's happening, but it's James Blake, and I love him. So this track's great. Song of the Year, 2018, already been called. And James Blake, Album of the Year, 2018. If he does drop an album this year, I do think it would be my Album of the Year. Just because 2016, it was just unfortunate circumstances that it came out in the same year of Teens of Denial, because it would have been my Album of the Year otherwise. But I think 2018 is the year. It's James Blake year. He's going to claim the Album of the Year throne again, because he had in 2013 for a brief time, and then I found The Redeemer by Dean Blunt, and then that, and then, I mean, hey, it's the greatest album of all time. And it came out in 2013, so I mean, hey, it takes over that spot. And then 2016, Card Anything is still a fucking great album. I'm sick of people saying it's too boring and it's too long. It's not boring, it's very entertaining all around, and it's I get the complaint that it's too long, but all the tracks are good to great, and most of them are great, so I don't really mind that it's so long, because I think it warrants it. So back off, haters. My boy James Blake, he coming after you. But really, this track is like, it's fucking weird. Like he's doing all this like vocal delay stuff on it, and it's like it sounds like I'm listening to like a scratch CD, but like a really awesome one, so I don't even mind. But I'm definitely interested to hear more new music from James, as this track is weird, and I would not mind getting another weird James Blake album, like something more in the vein of the self-titled. Like, I think I'd be totally down with that, for him to kind of go back to that style a little bit, but just sort of updated for modern times, kind of dropping a bit of the pop sensibility and just going back into like, man, what the fuck is this dude on? He's crazy, but I love him.
But yeah. Will he be faced the same with the same problem as 2016? Because Car Seat Headrest is also dropping the Twin Fantasy remake.
That is true. Now, here's the thing: the Twin Fantasy remake, it's going to be great. But I will say, I've already heard Twin Fantasy. All right, and I like James Blake's self-titled more than Twin Fantasy, so I do believe in my boy James. I think he'll pull through.
It's crazy that my number one and number two album of the year of 2018 is going to be Twin Fantasy and Endless. just based on loopholes.
Oh yeah, yeah, because Endless is getting like the it's like a re basically it's finally getting put out like on in CD quality, basically finally getting like an actual legitimate release and not just hey I'm gonna put this as a video on iTunes so I can get out of my record contract LOL, which that's a boss move that I think people have not thought about enough when it comes to like that sort of period, and that he literally dropped a video, a 45-minute long video with some random ass music of him building a staircase, and then that was how he got out of his record contract. It's crazy. So,
but yeah.
All right. Our last single, I guess. One I don't know. I'm not sure who put it on here because I'm not listening to this. But someone.
Me neither.
I have not.
Okay, we're not going to talk about it
then. We probably should not talk about it.
All right, let's not
it.
Talk about it then. I think Jackson put this here before he decided to... Yeah, that was probably a Jackson ad.
Quick note here about the singles. The Superchunk one that was here, I just want to say it's really good. And I also want to say the new Hop Along single is extremely good, and that's all I have there.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah. But our main topic for tonight, we're going to be doing a little bit of a holiday January catch-up, and it's more January, because I don't recall... Besides King Gizzard, I don't recall any albums that came out in December. That's like the only one. So we got some albums. January's actually been a surprisingly pretty strong / interesting month for music. Some big name releases, some potential album of the year candidate off the bat, and then a potential worst album of the year candidate off the bat. But we'll get to that. Let's start with a good album though that came out. One I'll mention very briefly. The new Shame album, or their debut, Songs of Praise. This is a damn good post-punk album. It's a bunch of pissed-off British guys. It's fucking great. I love it.
The only critique I have of this album is that I wish it were heavier. Like, the first few tracks, he's just really going in, and then I feel like it kind of falls off a little. I think he has a really cool voice, and I like it better when he's yelling.
Yeah, I will say that, there's some more slower tracks on the second half that I'm like, I mean, they're fine, but, like, you listen to Concrete, and you're like, I want more of that. Like, can I get more of that? Like, give me it. And you don't really kind of, you don't get that on the second half. But I will say this album is very good. Definitely excited to hear more from these guys, as it is their debut, and they're all, like, super young as hell. So, like, They're going to be around for a bit, I think. Because I remember, I think, like, Lushacris and Seagal Train from the subreddit were hyping this up when it came out. So, and they're right, this shit's good. But a slightly misleading cover. Like, I was not expecting to hear the music that I was hearing.
Yeah, they're just holding, like, goats. I thought it was going to be, just based on the cover, I thought it was going to be, like, Real Estate or some shit. Like, just, like, really soft, like, jangly indie pop. But, instead they're just screaming... Bathe me in blood.
Yes. Like I said, bunch of pissed off British guys. I fault them that shit. Again, girl band, Idols. Well, Idols I'm not as into. I like some Idols songs a lot, but I feel like I didn't give Idols a fair shake when that album came out. But girl band, but pissed off people from the UK and the UK associates. Ooh, that's my shit. But,
never gonna let you down.
Very good. Gavin, did you listen to this? I feel like this is up your alley.
I have not, but it sounds extremely good. I've seen multiple people on Twitter hype this up, and I just haven't gotten around to listening to it, but I will.
All right. Next.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Seeing this on the dock was like my first time hearing about it existing, but I'm a sucker for some post-punk.
And this is going to be a very good, I think this year is going to be a really good year for post-punk, because Ott album is really good. Palm, if you kind of count Palm as post-punk, their album is really good. And then this album's good. The new Shopping album is really good. I ended up cutting it from the list tonight, but it is very good. I want to give it a shout out. Shopping, the official body, very good dance punk, post punk. But next on the list, and one took me a bit. This one's not like it's not officially out yet, but it's streaming on.
Yeah,
it's on NPR.
It's on NPR. Yeah. So
mad that I haven't heard it.
And it's very good, and one that it's my first Ty Seagal album, and that is Freedom's Goblin. I heard this yesterday. I was working, I was volunteering at KDHX, which is a public station in St. Louis, and my boss put on this album, and I didn't know he put it on. Like, I heard the first track, I'm like, okay, this is good. He put on the second track, and I was like, wait, is this Muse? Like, what is this? Is it Muse or Coldplay? And it's like, oh no, it's Ty Segall. Like, what? That's Ty Segall? Like, what?
That's actually really interesting to me. Ty Segall sounding like Muse and Coldplay. Because I haven't heard this album, but I'm a big Ty Segall fan. So he's been on some shit lately. His last three albums I've all enjoyed a lot. Manipulator, An Emotional Mugger, and then his self-titled album last year. All really good stuff. All pretty varied and different. So I'm looking forward to this one. I don't know.
Yeah. You can go, Britt.
I really liked the self-titled last year. I haven't listened to this one yet, but I'm sure it'll be great. I had Ty Segall described to me as he shits gold, so.
Yeah, well, he has like 20 albums, and all pretty quality, so.
Which is very tough to do, because like.
It's insane, yeah.
It's like that 100 Floors of Fright thing from the David S. Pumpkin sketch. It's like, it's 100 Floors of Fright. They can't all be winners.
But
somehow Ty Segall makes it better.
This is true. I gotta listen more to Ty Segall then, because I really enjoy this
album. Oh, dude.
I'm gonna listen to this, because now all the stuff is on Apple Music, and I have Apple Music, so I should listen to his stuff more. Because this album fucks really hard, and I like it. Like, it's really I was talking to my boss about it, and it's like it's long, like it's like 75 minutes long, but I would say it warrants the length. I would say like it does like he's really going at it on this album. Like he's trying a lot of shit, and a lot of he's throwing a lot of ideas at the wall, and a lot of them are sticking. There's some that don't stick, but for the most part, a lot of them are sticking, and it's like, okay, I see what you're doing, Ty. I like this. I dig this. I'm gonna check out your back catalog, or some of it, not all of it. It's too much. It's too much. But, one of these ones shout out, for sure. It's
dangerous.
Somebody told me that it was, like, glam rock, which is super intriguing to me. Ty Segall plus glam rock is I'm very with it.
Yeah, it's very, like, there's some more James Brown-inspired stuff. Like, it really is. Like, because here's the thing, I always thought Ty Segall was, like, a noise rock guy. Like, I heard, like, some of his KDHX session from the Emotional Mugger
album. Oh, yeah. So good.
And that's what I expected from a Ty Segall album. But instead it's like, it's like kind of glammy and kind of...
Yeah.
It's like, this is... And really just... And like I said, I thought it was Muse at first, okay? So, but in a good way.
Even Emotional Mugger is very different from... like Manipulator and his self-titled, like that's very much like a kind of a heavier garage rock album, but a lot of his stuff is very psychedelic pop kind of, so I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
This is gonna be good.
When I was listening to this album, by like the fourth track, I was like, I should listen to this with my dad because he'll like it, and that's like a compliment. I think I like, because this is like, it's very like, I mean, I could say about every Ty Segall album, but it's not like anything he's done before. It's very, like, it's long for one thing. And I loved Emotional Mugger. That was my 2016 album of the year. That was crazy. And this is not crazy, but it's different. And it's good different. And I think anyone who likes the rock and the rolls should check out this new Ty Segall.
Yes, I highly recommend it. And it comes out, it should be out by the time this podcast is out, so... Hey, go listen.
Listen, guys.
Next on this list, I'm excited to talk about this one. The new Porches album, The House. And Porches, a little history lesson, at least for my own personal history lesson. Pool was an album in 2016 that I really, really enjoyed. I like it a lot. I think it's a great album. Some iffy tracks, only a couple, but for the most part, the stuff that's good is really fucking good. Underwire is a great track. Car is a great track. Forgetting the name, but the one that I think it's like him and Frankie, it's basically a duet. It's fucking great. So, before the first single came out, I was very heavily anticipating this album. And then Country dropped a few months ago, and I was like, oh, okay, interesting. It's sort of this sort of, it's basically kind of a synth ballad, and it's kind of soft and quiet. Interesting. Seems like an album cut more than a single, but alright, we'll see. And then Find Me came out, and I didn't like it at first, but it's grown on me immensely.
Yeah, Find Me is a good song, actually.
Find Me is great. I think it's a really good song. It's probably the best song on the damn album. But the rest of the album...
I would say...
Oh, you go, before I continue.
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna do my ramblings really quick because I don't really have a lot to say about this album because it's I never listened to Tool. This is the first Porches album I've ever heard, and all I have to say about it is that there are some moments that I like, not like whole songs, just like moments of songs that I like. But I feel like someone said somewhere that he was trying to make the album resemble like a series of vignettes or something like that. But it, to me, it kind of just comes off like he has a bunch of songs that are unfinished, and even though they have maybe a cool part here or there, there's not like, there's only like one or two tracks that I think are good the whole time. I like Find Me, and I like Goodbye. Those are the two tracks I really like. Other than that, pretty much just underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that.
I will say that the album where, here's the thing, I'm someone who very much cares that an album has a good intro. If your album does not have a good intro, I'm not, the rest of your album is going to suffer because of it. I don't care if the rest of the tracks are not as bad as that intro. It's supposed to set the mood for the album, and if it's bad, it's going to ruin the rest of the album for me. And so when I listen to this album, this is the first thing I'm heard. I'm going to play the beginning of the first track, Leave the House. All right.
What is Porches going to sue us again? Are we going to get our channel taken down like Drake?
So that is the first thing I heard from this album, and I had to pause the track. I had to pause it, and I was fucking dying. I was cracking up. I could not finish the track because I kept going back to that intro and just laughing my ass off. And if you don't know who that vocal is, that's Alex G on the vocals. For whatever reason.
What?
Yes, yeah. I thought it was Aaron at first. I'm like, why would Aaron put this on? Like, why is he singing so out of tune? And then I'm like, and I found out, oh, it's Alex G. And that made it worse somehow, because it's like he directed Alex G to sing like this. Like, why would you have Alex G sing out of tune at the beginning of your album? Buddy, you know Dev Hines. You're friends with Dev Hines. You could get him to do it. You have, you are in New York City. You, again, has he gone? Oh my! So that was the first thing I heard, and I was dying laughing. Like, oh my god, this is so fucking bad. Did he really put this on his album? And the rest of the song ain't that pretty either, because those Alex G vocals, they keep coming back, and there's more of them. That it's a damn refrain on the rest of the song. Like, they're in the background, and it's like the ending of the song. And the lyrics, they aren't that pretty either. It's like very simple.
I have no idea what you're talking about. This Paula Abdul uncut, unedited like, version, it sounded pretty good. I mean, I liked it.
Oh,
I honestly cannot understand what he was saying in the slightest.
No, it's like he's saying like "Let it have me," and it's like, and then here's some choice lyrics from the song.
Oh boy,
I don't want to leave you out. I just want to leave the house. Find something to think about. Maybe take a walk around. And here's the thing. Okay, so I'm not saying that Aaron May has always been a great lyricist, not necessarily, but the dude knew how to write a fucking song. Like, if you listen to Car and you tell me, oh, it's not a perfect song, you're a damn liar. That's a perfect fucking, like, indie rock song. And the man, that's the problem is, I think, Jake, you're not wrong. I think as far as I know, the album, it's basically like, if he could not get the concept of the song, like, done in a day, it got scrapped. So basically, all these songs in this album are ones that he basically came up with in a day.
Yeah, I mean, like, half the songs are, like, under 2 minutes long.
Yeah, and some, it's such a disappointment, because you listen to Pool, and you know that this guy, Aaron Main, he's a fucking good songwriter. The dude knows how to write some really good songs, and really is able to flesh out and build his songs. And this album, it's so minimal at times, and it's so bare bones and unfinished, and it's him going more in the synth-pop direction, which I would be fine with, if there's more songs like Find Me on the album that actually feel like fully formed, functioning songs, and not like Leave the House or...
You should listen to Goodbye again. Like,
I did listen to Goodbye. I think the first half of this album is not that bad. Like, besides Leave the House. Leave the House is terrible. But Find Me is alright. Understanding is too short. Now the Water is actually pretty good. Country, I don't like Country still. By My Side is actually pretty good. There's that weird, like, Swedish interlude, which... God, there's a lot of really poor decisions on this album. Here's the thing, if he wants to have like little snippets and little interludes on this album, that's fine. But basically, he's trying to do, like, a Frank Ocean thing, but he's no Frank Ocean. He's no, not even close. Like, what this album feels like, it's like, hey, Frank, can I copy off your homework? Yeah, just change it up a bit. Just don't make it look exactly the same. That's what this album feels like.
And then we just have to mention the artwork. We don't have to say, like, anything else, but just mention that it's there.
Aaron Mann, he looks like he's in an ad for, like, malnourished children. Like, okay, I think, here's the thing. I like Find Me, but I do not, the video for Find Me is so fucking bad. Because Aaron Mann looks like he needs nourishment. Like, that dude needs to eat something. He's got, like, I can't hate, here's the thing, there's some things I can't hate. Like, I can't hate his hair because it's, like, it's my hair. Like, I literally have, like, the bleached hair that's, like, the roots are growing back in. But the entire video, it's, like, it's him, like, getting ready. It's him, like, lying in bed, like, trying to act like, oh, I'm so sad in this bed. I don't want to get out. I don't want to get out. And it's him, like, working out. Like, he's at, like, a little, like, bench. Like, to bench press stuff. And he's, like, posing. And he, again, like I said, the whole, he looks malnourished. The man needs, he needs, give him a steak dinner or something, please. And then, like, he's got, like, these two dancers in the video that look like, I'm not sure if you guys, let's see, if you remember, there's this Goosebumps episode. It's like, it was featured on a JonTron episode, which JonTron, fuck JonTron, by the way, but I'm just so people understand. It's like two kids who are, they look like ghosts. Like, they look like they're ghosts, like they're Amish ghosts that, like, dressed in modern clothes, and they dance like it, too.
That's weird.
The video is bad.
It's getting weird.
Because it's like trying to appropriate Midwest culture, and I don't like it. Like, Maine, you're from the suburbs of, it's kind of suburban, but I don't know. The video sucks. It's bad. And Aaron Maine is like, I don't know the theory. Like, I have theories about why this album is so bad. The one that I'm going to stand behind the most is that I think Dev Hynes purposely sabotaged this album. Like, I feel like as a dig, he just gave Aaron Maine, like, his worst ideas and was, like, wondering if he would actually go through with them, and he did, because he's like, oh, Aaron Maine, the fucking madman, mate, fucking went through it. Dev Hynes is British, if you guys don't know, so that's my attempt. And then my instinct theory about why this album was bad is that I think he had a brain injury and he didn't recover. But that one's not as popular because it's probably not true. I think it's maybe not like a typical brain injury. Like, he didn't just, like, fall on his head and was like, ow, my head, I'm going to write bad songs now. I think him breaking up with Frankie Cosmos broke his brain as a songwriter. Like, I feel like, because if you guys don't know, Greta Klein of Frankie Cosmos and Aaron Maine of Porches, they were dating for a very long time. Broke up sometime, as far as we know, in 2016. Probably, like, in the fall, as far as I know. Because all of a sudden they stopped following each other on Instagram. I was following this, like, kind of seriously. Because, again, I liked Porches a lot, and I followed them both. And I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. But I think him breaking up with Greta, like, broke his fucking brain as a songwriter. Like, I feel like she was just some kind of glue that kind of kept him in, like, not going too far in the whole synth pop direction on Pool. She was sort of the connector of, like, hey, like, keep your roots, man. But this album is just, it's just him, like, jumping the shark, and it's really bad. And it's really disappointing. God.
Yeah. Yeah. Got two songs in and turned it off.
It's bad. It's real bad. I will say, I do think the album is worth finishing just because it's an interesting bad. It's a very fascinating bad. Like, I don't think I've had such a visceral negative reaction to an album since, I gotta say it, since Currents. And I will say, the Currents is very special in that basically everybody loved it except for me. Like, the critics, they fucking fawned over it. They fucking were drooling on Kevin Parker's, like, drooling on his beard, drooling on his little scarves, like, oh, I love this. And this album is actually not getting that response. Like, I think, like, Tiny Mixtapes gave it, like, a 9 out of 10, which is not shocking. It's not shocking. Here's the thing. They fucking love Dean Blunt, so they love, like, this type of music. I just think Aaron Maine's, like, doing it badly. But Porches, I mean, not Porches, Pitchfork gave it like a, they basically like, they gave it a soft pan, so I'm not crazy, all right? But people on Indieheads are liking this album a lot, and I'm going to fight all of them about it, so that's all I got to say. This album, it's very disappointing. Better luck next time.
Shouts out Alex G.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Alex G.
Shouts out Alex G, though, yeah. True.
He dropped, apparently, I'm not listening to the new song they dropped on his YouTube page, but I think someone said it was better than this entire album, and I believe them. Because Alex G is strong and my friend. But that's it. Let's move on to the next album. Jake, I'll let you take this one, because you threw this on here.
It's just really quick. It's the new They Might Be Giants album. It's called I Like Fun. And I don't know, talking about They Might Be Giants is always kind of strange, because you can't really take their music like too seriously. And that's not like an insult. It's just like, that's how they write their songs. Because even their best albums, like in my opinion, like they have Lincoln and Flood. They're kind of, the whole experience is kind of supposed to be like quirky and playful and fun or whatever. And they have like tender songs, but that's not really ever the focal point, I guess, around which their albums are constructed. And I think it's pretty much the same on this album. I mean, it's called I Like Fun. So, I mean, you can't really be any more blunt about your intentions there. But I don't know. It's pretty good. It's the kind of standard alt rock. There's like some maybe piano and synths here and there, but it's a pretty regular album. If you want just like a fun alt rock, alt like pop album, I would listen to it. That's all I gotta really say.
All right, yeah, boom.
I feel like I should be into them.
Yeah, I mean, their albums in the, what is it, like the 80s are classics for sure.
Yeah, they've been around forever.
I mean,
yeah.
Cute Thing is by Kazi Edris is about They Might Be Giants song, basically. So,
right, I'll check it out.
So there it is.
All right, our next album on the list, one that I cannot talk about, but I think enough of us can. Toon Yards, I Can Feel You Creep Into My Private Life, first album since 2014. One that I need to listen to, because I love Who Kill, and I love, God, I can't,
Nicky Knack.
Nicky Knack, God, I always forget the name, but I love it.
Nicky Knack is so fucking good.
It's fucking good.
Nicky Knack is rips. It's really good.
This new album, though, I Can Feel You Creeping Into My Private Life. You listened to it, right, Britt, or did you listen, who was listening to it?
I did listen to it, and I actually kind of love it. It's a political introspection that I think is definitely needed at this time. And I think it was timed interestingly as well, because it took place among all the women's marches. And I'll be real, I have critiques of the women's marches. I think it's not intersectional enough. I think it's very heavily dominated by white women who think, I hate Trump, so I'm a feminist. Ha! Even though they voted for Trump, or white women voted for Trump. And I think people are trying to help minorities, people of color, and queer women as well, but I don't think it's adequately being done. And I think Meryl here is having the same thoughts, but I think she finally had like the epiphany of, holy shit, maybe I'm not doing what I need to do here and I'm not helping enough. And she's kind of reflecting on her own privilege and using her own platform to do this. And I think that's really, really interesting for an artist to do now, like, in this certain way. It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, punk's going to be great after Trump wins. But no, this is like, holy shit, like, we really fucked up. This is a product of we really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like this album. I think the lyrics are really fun, but still, like, they mean something, which is a really good thing to do. So this is probably one of my favorite first albums that I've, like, actually, like, fallen in love with in 2018. So I hope to see more soon, but
yeah.
It came out better than I thought it would.
So I'm not, like, I'm a huge, huge, like, Nicky Knack was in my top five of 2014. Like, I'm a huge, huge fan of their last few albums, and I guess if I only viewed this album in terms of the characteristics that initially drew me into Toon Yards, I'd probably be a bit disappointed. Like, it's still quirky, and I still think that, you know, Meryl Garbus has one of the most just uniquely driving and powerful voices in indie music. But I think that a lot of the songs on here aren't, I'm just talking from like a, from just a sonic, you know, like musical perspective. They're not as, not necessarily as eclectic or just like, like just strange, I guess, as what I like the songs I really like from them. They're just so weird and bizarre. And but what it, I think what it lacks in that, it kind of makes up for in cohesion in the music and also just with its lyrical message. It kind of stands off the like the Afrobeat and the kind of freak folk edges that a lot of their, that have always kind of been subtly present in their music. And it's pretty much exclusively focused on the kind of like synth heavy glitchy art pop, which is good, and they do it really well. There's like a lot of cool bass lines. It's still very high energy, and like Britt was saying, the lyrics are really, really good as well. I don't know, the only complaints I have, really, the weaknesses for me in the album just lie kind of, I guess, in the consistency of the track list. Like, the album's pretty long, and it's a bit of a slog at some points to me, which is, I don't know, I could pick maybe like three or four tracks that I could cut and be fine, but other than that, I think it's pretty strong overall, and I think it has some of their best songs just that I've ever heard from them. I really like Heart Attack, I really like ABC 123, I think those are like the singles, and then Colonizer is really good, and I really like Hammer. I think Hammer is probably one of their best songs they've ever made. So yeah, good album.
Sad. There's anything more to say? If there's not more to say, it's good. We got one more album to talk about, and oh boy, this one,
Lord.
This one, I don't think any of us were expecting it to come out so soon, but it is here. The new Jeff Rosenstock album, Post, literally dropped the first day of 2018. Like, literally, like, I found out about this album because I woke up, I woke up, checked my emails, got an email from his PR person saying, hey, Jeff wants to do an AMA. Oh, well, he also has, because he has a new album out. And I'm like, wait, what? He's new, what?
Yeah. Do when album? I first saw it, I thought that it, like, I thought it came out on New Year's Eve. And I was like, well, that is going to fuck up everyone's lists. But and then I was like, no, it came out on New Year's Day, so it's like, okay.
Jeff cares about us music nerds in our list purity.
He does. He definitely did that on purpose, just for the sake of my obsessive list making tendencies.
Exactly. But our boy Jeff Rosenstock, he's back. He recorded this album basically in secret in like New York with friends. And then put it out on New Year's Day by surprise.
Polyvinyl.
Signed to Polyvinyl. Is no longer with Side One Dummy. And, it's a Jeff Rosenstock album, man. And you know what? Because it's a Jeff Rosenstock album, you know what?
It's good.
It's fucking good. It's right. What? Exactly.
Oh.
But,
Man.
I'll let someone take the reins from here on this album. Gavin, you are a big Jeff boy.
I am the Jeff boy. I'm I don't know. Ted Phillips might be a bigger Jeff boy than me, but we're the Jeff boys.
I would say
Ted. I'm pretty sure Worry is his favorite album of all time.
Yeah, Ted is the Jeff boy.
We Cool is. Yeah, yeah.
You're the Roswell kid. Maybe my favorite album. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll take the Roswell kid. I am the Roswell kid boy. Shouts out Roswell kid. Album of the year 2017. See, no one else will admit it.
We all have our boys. And girls on the podcast. My boy is obviously Dean Blunt. Jake is obviously. His boy is Phil Elverum. Britt, who is your boy or girl?
You're gonna hate me for this, Matt. It's my girl Annie.
No, I don't hate you because I like I said, I love Saint Vincent before Mass Seduction.
Good take.
I loved Mass Seduction.
Like. No, you're putting words in my mouth. Oh wait, okay, you're talking about yourself.
I love Mass Seduction. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Okay, I'm very heated. Okay, I'm still mad about it. all right, Jeff, let's continue.
Jeff
Rosenstock. Be cool. Jeff Rosenstock.
I think that We Cool is the best album of this decade so far, which I know is sort of a hot take, but
also true.
But the album's so fucking good.
I
don't know, that album means a lot to me. There's a lot of embarrassing drunk stories of me in that album that maybe I'll share one day, but But this
every
album,
time
I
listen to We Cool, it feels like Jeff Rosenstock is personally attacking me.
Pretty much, pretty much. And then Worry came out, and I love Worry. I know that Worry is the Jeff Rosenstock album to a lot of people, but, you know, I loved it too. But this album, I think I like it more than Worry, which I also think is a bit of a hot take. I know when it came out, yeah, the Boy Time chat was torn asunder. Will thought it was a disappointment, but he's now sort of come around on it. And Jacob, I think, only likes the songs 9 out of 10 and TV Stars, which I think are the two weakest songs on the album, but not bad songs by any means. Really, any album that has a Laura Stevenson voicemail as the intro is bound to be like good and great, I would consider. But then USA is just this like 7 minute long fucking journey that's fucking crazy, and Chris Farren's on it. Shouts out to Chris Farren, and it's
yeah.
At two USA refrain is just so like once that wall of sound hits and like the second half, it's like I was like, I know this album's gonna be fucking not like We Cool, you know, or Worry.
I've listened to USA probably twice a day since this album's come out.
So have I. It's just that, and along with Let Them Win, which I flip-flop between which one I like more, but those are just two long, like, long Jeff Rosenstock songs are not typical nowadays, but...
No. Well, half of Let Them Win is just a synth drone, so...
Yeah, but... Does it really count? Yeah, so it's still longer than, than half of this album, you know? And it's I could see the people who maybe thought this album was a bit of a disappointment. I can see where they're coming from, because there's a lot of... Like, I could see someone listening to, like, beating my head against the wall and going, ooh, I don't like this, but... To me, it's like, I don't know, I listen to a lot of like 1960s garage rock, and this sounds like Jeff Rosenstock making 1960s garage rock, so I'm like, I'm fucking into this, you know, I'm down. But I'm so, like, I don't know, Jeff Rosenstock is, I don't want to say, like, underrated, because he's certainly not, but he's, just as a songwriter and lyricist, he's just on point constantly, which I guess is a better way of saying it. He never misses a mark. He's just...
No, I agree. I think... Because Post is probably my... Like, if I had to rank them, I would probably put it... I actually haven't listened to I Look Like Shit, so I can't say this.
I Look Like Shit is the bottom, but, I mean, it's... Yeah, like, nothing Jeff Rosenstock has ever done is bad, so...
Yeah, of his main three, this would probably be my least favorite, but that's, I mean, stupid, because it's still obviously really, really good. I guess if I had to give a spiel about this album, I'd say that it's interesting that his last album, you know, being titled Worry, kind of had, I think that that would almost be a more apt name for this album than actually Worry, because to me this whole album is just like the super anxious and neurotic set of songs that's pretty much, you know, it's about worrying about politics, and he's worrying about his relationships, and he's worrying too much. It's just this kind of big ball of nervous energy, and he kind of uses that energy to make just these super punchy, you know, kick-ass songs. It's not super conceptual. Like, I guess it doesn't flow in the same way that Worry does, but yeah, no, exactly. It doesn't need to be. I think, you know, probably a little more inconsistent, but like you're saying, USA and Let Them Win are probably two of my favorite Jeff songs of all time at this point. I've listened to them enough that I think that's a warranted opinion to have. And yeah, there's a lot of like, I guess I don't want to say deep cuts because there's only like 10 songs in here, but a lot, they've been kind of one-on-one growing on me a lot. I'll shout out Jackson and say that I agree that 9 out of 10 is the song of the year. Your Throat is also the song of the year.
Your throat makes me want to like beat the shit out of my walls. I love that song.
It's crazy because I remember the first time I listened to it, nothing really grabbed my attention completely aside from USA and Let Them Win. But now that I've been kind of sitting with it, and I've been listening to at least a couple of tracks off of it pretty much every day, and I'd say that there's nothing on here that's bad. It's actually pretty consistent, and maybe not up to. I mean, Worry is so good, so it's kind of hard to compare it to that. But it's great. It basically. Every time I listen to it, I just want to, you know, get stoned and scream at the TV. So, you know, that's a successful album to me.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you guys have said so far. But I will say, y'all have not mentioned all this useful synergy, and I'm mad about it.
Oh, that's a great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I will say, yeah.
Powerlessness.
I will say.
TV stars.
Melba.
Nah,
get all of them out there.
Beat him at the wall. Melba's
that. Okay. I will say, yes. Agree with everything you guys have said so far. I guess of the three, like, We Cool, Worry, Post, it is the weakest, but that's not saying much. It's just like, it's like comparing, like, oh, it's like a 9 out of 10 to a 9.1 out of 10 to an 8.9 out of 10. You know? It's
just, yeah.
It's Worry was such an ambitious album. Like,
it's Jeff Rosenstock's Damn.
Yes.
True. That's actually a good opinion.
I agree. Yeah. This is a good take I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. Co-signing that take.
I think Worry is like the To Pimp a Butterfly, I would say. And, you know, Jesus. We Cool is our Good Kid, Mad City.
And then I guess I Look Like Shit would be Section E. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what the hell?
There we go. If Jeff Rosenstock and Kendrick Lamar collabed, I would probably die instantly and go to heaven.
Jeff Rosenstock is Kendrick Lamar.
Damn was his album of the year. Like, Jeff did say Damn was his album of the year last year, so...
Yeah.
I mean, hey. Good. Yeah. Hey, if he's got the connects, it could happen. Who knows?
Kendrick Lamar can make the best fucking song with U2. He can make a good song with Jeff Rosenstock.
Exactly. But yeah, this album is great, as expected from a Jeff Rosenstock album. He's fucking Jeff Rosenstock. Of course, he's going to put out a great album. But yeah, the album it doesn't flow as well as We Cool or especially Worry. But again, it's still like a great collection of songs. Like, there's still a lot of really great stuff here. And also, again, it's like USA and Let Them Wonder 2 is the most ambitious songs he's ever done.
I'm trying to see Jeff live again.
I'm seeing him live.
When I see him in April, it'll be my fifth time seeing him within a year.
So jealous.
I've only seen him once, and it's genuinely probably the best concert that I've been to. And it was literally just like at a festival.
It was the best set of Pitchfork Fest, like by a mile.
Easily.
But my boy Jeff, he's at it again. I want to go back to your point, like at the beginning, by saying, like, Jeff, he's not really underrated, but he was an underdog for so goddamn long.
Oh god, he's the king of the underground,
and he's now like getting this recognition. He's really getting this exposure in the mainstream. Like, he was USA Today's album of the year in 2016.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
It's been a long time coming, and of course, there's a lot of people like just like me who discovered Jeff around the Worry era. Like, that's whenever I found out about him.
Yeah, me too.
And
that's about when I did too.
Oh man, so y'all need to get on that Bomb the Music Industry wave.
I know, actually. I've been listening to Bomb the Industry.
Because I know Lily,
I remember
Lily's a big Bomb the Music Industry stan.
Oh, so good.
Like, I know she shouts out Vacation all the damn time. So
Vacation's good. I'm a big Goodbye Cool World guy. Side projects are never successful. I would say to this day it's still the best song Jeff Rosenstock has ever done. So
wait, what is it called?
Catch that. Side projects are never successful.
It's
goddamn insane. It is like legitimately an insane song, but it's, I don't know. It meant a lot to me when I was like 16, and it still means a lot to me now. But it's, I Jeff Rosenstock, as far as I'm concerned, can put out an album of just fart sounds, and I'd be like, oh, Jeff King Slay or whatever, you know. I'm a Jeff guy.
As we mentioned, again, if you have the chance to see Jeff Rosenstock live, go see him live. It's a fucking amazing show.
You gotta.
Like, yeah, he's touring with Chris Farron and Laura Stevenson, who are like his best buddies. So if you can get to one of those shows, by God, do it.
Mm-hmm. I was also very quick mention, whenever I saw him, the fourth time I saw him in a year span, was at a beer festival in Chicago. And he played, I think, like, what's the bassist name again? He's fucking amazing.
Oh, he's a, oh god. I think he was on Bomb the Music Industry.
Oh, John.
Know.
Yeah, I think it's John.
John, yeah, John.
Yeah, John. His bass, I think it went out, like, very early in the set. And so Jeff, played The Internet Is Everywhere, like, basically, like, while they were, like, trying to fix his bass. So, but yeah, Jeff is great, and I'm excited to see these songs live. Like,
so am I.
USA is gonna be fucking wild live. Like, oh, and then again, I want to very mention, like, my favorite moments on the album is the end, is the kind of, like, I guess the end of Let Them Win, where, you know, it's like basically this wall of sound the entire time, and Jeff's just, it's just like the band is in, and they're going wild, and it just sort of like starts to end with him and just the acoustic guitar and him just sort of like, you know, singing the one note, and it's really beautiful and makes me want to cry. Like, Jeff is just someone who's so good at displaying emotion. Like, you really fucking feel what he's feeling on these tracks. He's so goddamn good at making me cry or, like, run around like a little bitch. Like, I want to yell all these songs live. Like, he's so... there's a magic to Jeff that a lot of performers just don't have. And I love
Jeff,
him. He's my dad.
Yeah, he could have easily been, like, a cult leader or, like... some like fucked up thing, because he's so just, there's something about him that just clicks with people, you know, but he's just uses it to make some of the best fucking music like ever. I don't know, he's I can't say enough good things about Jeff Rosenstock. He's the man.
Yep,
he seems like everyone's emo dad here.
He is.
Yeah, that's pretty, yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it.
He is our emo dad.
Okay, so
I am his son.
Okay, let's talk the emo family tree right now. So
if actually okay, no, that's not true. My emo, I think the Indie Heads podcast TM emo dad is Christian Holden.
I would say has the potential to. I would say Christian Holden right now is our emo. I would say Jeff Rosenstock is our emo stepdad for right now, because Christian and he's our emo stepdad. He's our emo stepdad, Jeff, and then Christian Holden would be our emo dad. Who, you know, we'll again, right now we're at Jeff's house, so we'll go back to tradition.
Cool
someday.
Stepdad.
Well, Jeff cool could step, also cool just stepdad. Be like emo uncle.
Cool stepdad who gives you beer.
Yeah,
I would say emo. Who would be our emo stepdad? Would probably be like someone in The World Is a Beautiful Place. I feel like the whole band is our emo uncle. Is The World Is a Beautiful Place, and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die. Our emo cousins are Remo Drive, obviously.
Oh yeah,
they're our good emo cousins.
No, Remo Drive is our indie sons. Emo sons.
I would say that, but like I don't know, they're like the same age as us, so I feel like cousins is a bit more appropriate. But emo sons is also appropriate too. Like I said, they're our emo brothers. Basically, they're technically our cousins, but they're basically like brothers to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And our emo, who's our emo mom then?
That's a good question.
I guess Laura Stevenson by default.
Katie, yeah. Crutchfield? Does, I don't know if that actually say, counts as.
Yeah, I would say Katie. I think yeah. Katie's definitely up there, because I know Zach and Jackson are Waxahachie stands. Zach,
oh, especially. I am also Waxahachie stands.
All right, there yeah. we go. Katie Crutchfield and Kevin Morby are the indie couple right now? I will not hear otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Morby, I actually
accept this.
I re-listened to City Music the other day. And I really wish I appreciated more when it came out, because it's a damn good album. Uh-huh. And Kevin Morby, if you're listening to this, I want you to hear this straight from the mouth.
He's definitely listening to this.
Kevin Morby, I have feelings for you. Hit me up.
Watch out, Katie.
Watch out, Katie. I'm coming for the crown.
Slide into Kevin Morby's DMs.
Jesus Christ.
Just
all
right. Do it.
So, all right, I think we're done with Jeff. I think we've said all we can say. Go see him live.
Never done with Jeff.
Go. Well, we're never done. We'll never be done. We're just taking a break.
I'm not done, actually.
Oh, you're not? Oh,
I
yeah.
I had to take the song that you guys were not talking about, and I was disappointed. It was Powerlessness. I love Powerlessness.
Powerlessness is good.
On post. That was a solid album. A solid song.
I love Jeff. I love him.
This might be my goddamn album of the year. I mean, it's too early to call that, but it's probably because I'm such a blind Jeff Rosenstock stan. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. I guess if I like him more than Worry, I don't know.
I mean, it's mine for now.
Yeah, like, it's probably too early to call it. But God, man, I love this album.
God, I was playing the Metal Gear
Sheep.
I was playing the Metal Gear Survive beta with AJ the other day, and we were talking about this album, and AJ's like, isn't it crazy how like the best album and the worst album of 2017 drop in the same month or dropped already? Of course, we're talking about Jeff Rosenstock, because Jeff Rosenstock, it legitimately is an album of the year candidate. It's like, okay, this very well could be in my top 10 by the end of the year. That's insane. And Porches, we've roasted it enough, all right? Aaron Mayne, get some food, please. For the love of God, dude, get a bite to eat. Stop taking the Molly. Get a bite to eat. Goddamn. All right, I think that's about it for the podcast, though. Unless there's any other albums we want to give a shout out to, but
there was one. I forgot what it was.
What did you think of the new King Gizzard album, Gavin?
It's a B-sides album. Like, it's obvious. I mean, it's King Gizzard, so it's enjoyable. But, like, it's like you listen to it and you go, oh, this is from Sketches of Brunswick East, or oh, this is from Flying Microtonal Banana. But, I mean, it's if you liked those other albums, you will like this. It's, I mean, I didn't think, it's my least favorite of them all, but it's King Gizzard, so I'll like it.
My hope for King Gizzard in 2018 is that they all take a really nice long nap.
Yeah, I think Stu McKenzie needs a nap.
I
there was an album. Let me think. I'm gonna try and think about it. It's on the tip of my tongue. Oh God, I'm blowing it. I'm blowing it here,
He's
guys.
Blowing it. Gavin's blowing it.
I'm blowing it, y'all. Blow it. Rockle Kid, Precious Art. By now. There's a new half Japanese album. It's definitely not what I wanted to talk about, but if you like half Japanese, you'll like this. And if you don't like half Japanese, congratulations, you're like 90% of the population, so don't worry about it.
All right, I think that's about it. 2017 is gonna be a great year. We're gonna get like 3 Mark Kozlik albums.
2017 sucked.
Hey, we're still in the beginning of the year. Give me some time to
It's still 2017.
Give me some time to think, all right?
It's not officially 2018 until
February. We've literally been sucking the 2016 primaries for, like, 2 years now, so my brain's broke. But, yeah, again, there's going to be a lot of great stuff coming out. Like, in February, like, fucking Palm, Ought, Carsey Headrest. Whew. It's a fucking whopper of a goddamn month, like, with just those 3 albums. So, but, yeah, that's all I got to say. That's all. I think we're done. Once again, thank you, Gavin. Thank you, Britt, for joining us on this podcast. Hopefully,
welcome.
Many more
Thanks
to come.
For having me.
And Jake, welcome back to the pod. I know Thank the you. Everything Now podcast. I know you've been in a cryogenic sleep since then.
Yeah, I couldn't. I needed this long of a gap to rejoin. Basically, I finally built up the courage to come back.
Of course, we didn't tell you that we actually ended up picking Everything Now as our album of the year. Hopefully it doesn't send you back into a coma.
Wow.
But
yeah, I'll see you guys in August.
But you're gonna miss
chemistry song of the year.
No, Gavin. you could say that shit around AJ. All right, I'll tolerate it when you're talking with AJ, but not around me, son. Not around me. All right, that's gonna do it for this podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. We'll be back actually very relatively soon. As we are doing a new Billboard podcast, which I'm very excited to do because I love doing those Billboard podcasts because the last one broke my brain because I was trying to recite It's Fucking Nice Out. I was trying to chill and smoke some loud, you feel me? And I'm going to probably do I'm going to probably break my brain again because there's going to be something that's going to happen. So hopefully you guys enjoy this podcast and we will see you all next time. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.